In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us this Friday, Memorial Day weekend. I trust that you'll give thanks for those who've given their lives for us, and we have the freedoms that we can enjoy today. And yet, I think it's no accident we're in the book of Judges, Pastor Mark, with they forgot all of those blessings of what God had provided. And I hope that and pray that we as a country are not forgetting God. But I don't know, we've taken him out of the schools and we've taken him, you know, really out of life as far as normal life. I mean, TV wants to just picture life without God, you know.
Right.
And yet, you think of most television shows, there's always problems, people, you know, going through, I mean, cruelty and evil. And we've taken God out of all that. But anyway, thank you for joining us. My name's Ken Keltner, and you're with us on the Word for Life broadcast brought to you by Brookside. And we're thankful for Jim Schneider and the leadership there at BCY and their strong testimony to keep the Word going out on air, not only here in Milwaukee, but in the surrounding areas, but in several parts of the United States. Well, Pastor Mark, why don't you share a little bit of what's happening here at Brookside?
Well, it's a holiday weekend, and a lot of people travel, but want to remind us that we still have Sunday services, and we look forward to them. So we have a full children's ministry. We have Pastor Ken preaching in the morning services through 1 Corinthians. And then in the evening, we have messages from the book of Psalms. Next Wednesday will be our next cookout at 5:30 at the church, and also a youth night for our teenagers, and we look forward to that. Want to remind you that we do have a Bible school coming up in just a few weeks, June 19th to the 23rd, for elementary children, and that'll be in the evenings of that week, and that's going to be a great opportunity for the families of our church.
Well, we do look forward to all the opportunities that God gives to us, and as as the Lord tarries, our prayer is that we be faithful to do and reach out to people as we need to. We pick up here in Judges chapter 2. We left off verse 10, which says, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel." And this, you just start to see the erosion and the and what they tolerate. It just keeps on flowing to where it's going to be failure, and God's going to bring judgment on them. So right away we're told they'd forgot what the Lord had done. And then in verses 11 through 13 of chapter 2 of Judges, we see that they are going to forsake what the Lord had said. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, that great author and pastor for many years, said, "The sin in our lives that we fail to conquer will eventually conquer us." Partial obedience, my dear friends, is going to lead to total failure in our lives. You know, "Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." I can sin. I have that choice to do that, but I cannot choose my own consequences. And there is a consequence to sin. How you act and live when all authorities are gone is really who you are. So, sons and daughters, after mom and dad are gone, what is life like? They forgot Joshua's farewell sermon that we studied a few weeks back in Joshua 24 that implored them to remember the ways of God and follow the words of God. You think, Pastor Mark, what caused them to forsake God's words? Because you don't really see anything in the book of Judges with a reference going back to God's word. Well, their parents, you know, at one point had been willing to fight the enemy with their hands, but they didn't see any dangers in living with them in their lands. Well, I don't see really what's wrong, you know. I mean, why can't we marry some of the Canaanites or those Amalekites women, Dad? I mean, they're beautiful women. Why can't I marry them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't see any danger with that. Why can't I connect? Why can't I go to their church? I mean, you know, he or she doesn't want to go to my church, but I got to go to their church. Well, there's no problem with these Canaanite children playing with our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can just kind of see how we can get along to get along is kind of the idea. They're not that dangerous. And that being said, today, those who do not hold to the teachings of the Bible are going to gravitate toward that mindset. Sometimes it's the attitude, it's just not worth the fight. How many times have you heard a parent who's having trouble with a kid say, I just don't want to keep fighting?
Yeah.
I remember I told our boys, if you think your mom and I have brought you into this world to give up at this point and quit fighting, you're dead wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thankfully, God gave us the stamina to keep on moving. And today they say, hey, thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
Even though it's a fight, God had commanded them to do what he said to do, to drive all of these inhabitants out of the land. And I wonder, are there some spiritual battles that you as parents possibly need to wage in your own home for the sake of your kids? And really, we talked about technology in our last broadcast. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have kids, you know, on those cell phones, you know, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you see that's why our social skills are so poor today, because we don't talk to anybody. We just text them.
Yeah.
Is there something you're afraid even to mention to your spouse? Are you afraid to talk to your children about an issue that and a life or, you know, even what they're wanting to do with their free time? If you would say yes to it, then you're exactly where these parents were that we're studying about in Judges 2. They died. And unfortunately, their influence was no longer. They didn't see any danger, even though the warning had been given with ungodly intermarriage of these other tribes of people. They were in direct defiance with what God had said in Deuteronomy. Their answer to God was, no, we're not going to do it. God knew a wife's influence can sway even the strongest spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
You think, look at what happened to Solomon with all of his heathen wives. I mean, Pastor Mark, I get so, when I'm reading about Solomon, I see that he was even offering his children to the god of Molech.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just...
How does that happen to a man like that?
Exactly. You're talking about the smartest man that's ever lived, you know, on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, and if he succumbed to that, we're susceptible too.
Yeah. I mean, intermarriage here for Israel meant a loss of identity as a special nation that was chosen by God. I mean, they saw advantages instead of liabilities in the economic cooperation with the Canaanites. Their advanced knowledge of farming that had produced fantastic crops, that was appealing to the Israelites. They didn't immediately recognize they'd have to sacrifice to their gods to get those results. But according to Psalm 1, you know, you don't want to be standing, sitting, or hanging around the ungodly. Mm-hmm. Baal can be translated Lord or husband, which gives the analogy of spiritual adultery. And that was a fitting description because even in the book of Hosea, that's the picture God gives through that analogy of Hosea's wife, Gomer, who was in physical adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And God's message was, as she is in adultery and breaking that relationship with her husband, that's exactly what you, Israel, are with me. You're in spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And Baal supposedly controlled all the forms of fertility in the land. They taught that you had to please Baal to get good crops. I mean, part of Baal worship involved the deepest depravity, prostitution of men and women. Ashtaroth was the goddess of fertility, as far as in crops and whether or not you could have children. I mean, the Israelites had no experience with farming, so they believed they had to learn from the Canaanites instead of learning from God. You know, you go down to the Oriental Museum down in Chicago, Pastor Mark, mm-hmm. they have an incredible display there of the Middle East. And, you know, I remember one of the curators there taking us around, went to this one particular display and said, "This is Baal." It's a little gold statue of something that Baal, but we would say, you know, we would reference that to Baal. I mean, and their association with the Canaanites and the god of Baal that they served, or Baal, was like sitting under the godless teachings of secular humanism and materialism and the educational system of this day, which we talked about. We get so smart, we don't even make sense. I mean, today, just having trouble describing, you know, who's a man and who's a woman.
Yeah.
Well, how do children get into such a spiritual state? And I would say it's very gradually, my friend. They watch their parents become successful, maybe financially, and then they watch their church life, and it didn't really quite measure up. As success comes, we begin to worship it and the prestige that it that it will actually bring. All actions we take, we think of our image. I mean, think image, you think idol. And even today, we have what's called American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Personal possessions and a magnificent church complexes, the church complexes are built, and it often leads us to pride. And that's one area that God said, I absolutely hate. You know, these six things, yea, seven are an abomination. So hate, my friends, is a family value. Even though the world says hate's not a family value, God said, here's what I hate. We ought to hate what he hates. And one thing he hates is a proud look.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you that your children, your grandchildren are listening and they're watching. You know, when I'm saying to my kids, going upstairs, only mom and dad can watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
Problem.
Yeah.
And we're blind to what they see and we're deaf to what they hear us saying. And our possessions begin to possess us. You got that new car? Well, can dirty neighborhood children ride to church in it? I remember I told the Lord, you have my car, gave it to a missionary to drive. I got that thing back and it was totally just looked like they had taken it four wheeling in red dirt, baloney, Cheetos, all in. And I looked at that and I started to battle. And then Kathy looked at me and said, well, isn't that the Lord's car?
Mm-hmm.
I go, yeah, great reminder. And I still want to possess it as mine, you know?
Yeah.
You know, having a new pickup. Now, I don't have a new pickup, so I don't mind anything being hauled in that pickup. But if I have a new pickup, am I going to let people haul their piano or a new home and furniture? Can I invite folks to come over with children who might spill red Kool-Aid all over my carpet? Well, that can all be fixed. And I would say, let's not allow the possessions to possess us. And that's exactly what we're going to continue to see throughout the book of Judges. Trust you have a great weekend. Thank you again for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.